welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Our guest today is Andrew Zolden of the Inside TBT Podcast. Andrew is a graduate of the University of Missouri. He is in his second year doing the official podcast of the basketball tournament, Inside TBT. He does it with his partner, Joey Lane. Andrew, thanks for coming on. Tell the people a bit more about your role with TBT and how this all started for you.
Absolutely. Well, first off, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. The second you DM'd me, I said, I'm in. So very excited to be on the show. So basically, the story is real quick. About a little over a year ago, so last May, Joey and I, who we run a podcast called Drive the Lane, which is an Ohio State sports slash kind of just all college basketball podcast. Joey had a connection with Dan Friel, who runs the tournament. I said, hey, why don't we have him on, talk about the Ohio State team, and then after say, hey, you guys don't have a podcast for the tournament. What do you think about it being us? So basically that went exactly to plan. And then we did some, you know, bubble remote stuff last year. We actually did a Zoom press conference for every single game last year from the first round of the championship. So we talked to, you know, Joe Johnson last year. And then unfortunately Aftershocks wasn't in it last year, but we were looking forward to talking to them. And I know everyone in Wichita was looking forward to having it in Wichita. So now it's like they have it back. But year two here, we're going to be in West Virginia and then Columbus and Dayton. We are not going to be in Wichita this year, but it is on our bucket list to get to Wichita.
Yeah, Wichita really turned out in 2019, and obviously that's the reason why we're talking with Andrew today. We're getting close to the countdown. The Aftershocks play on July 16th that evening. That's the first day of the TBT. They will play at 8 p.m. against the Expats, which is a team largely of former Patriot League players. That'll be July 16th, 8 p.m. at Koch Arena. So, Andrew, this is second year in Wichita for TBT, so we're still probably bringing in some newcomers. Give us a little bit of a guide. If you're kind of a TBT newcomer, what are the essential things to know about this tournament?
Yeah, well, you definitely want to know about the Elam ending. It's the idea was come up by Nick Elam, and basically it's as simple as this. With 4 minutes left in the TBT fourth quarters, They take the game clock away, and they add 8 points to the winning team's score, and that becomes the target score. It eliminates, you know, late game fouling, stalling for the clock to run out. And the coolest part is every game ends on a game winner. Every single game in the tournament has a game winning shot. You know, for example, if it's 82-80, the under four first whistle, target score is set at 90 and the teams play to 90. So there's a lot of strategy with that. You know, teams will call a timeout if they're up by a little bit at the under four to get, you know, the first points of the Elam ending. And then another thing that's awesome about the tournament is, you know, the alumni teams, because it brings in so many more fans than it would be if it was just, you know, the tournament staples. But don't get me wrong, those teams are awesome too. You know, the Challenge ALSs, the Sideline Cancers, the Eberline Drives, just to name a few of the teams that have been staples of TBT that are not alumni teams and are just good teams with good players. But the Elam ending and then the alumni aspect of it, anytime you got a 64-team tournament with alumni teams, it's going to feel pretty similar to March Madness, which is kind of what they're going for. And it really hits home with those alumni teams.
TBT started in 2014, had 32 teams. The Notre Dame Fighting Alumni won it that first year. Seems to get bigger and bigger. I think it benefits from a lot of things. ESPN jumping on board is obviously huge. Kind of comes in a sweet spot in the summer where there's not a lot of competition. You mentioned the alumni teams are really attractive. What's your view? Why has TBT become such a hit? Why has it continued to grow?
Well, kind of what you said, when it's on ESPN, people start watching, and then all of a sudden they have their team. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a bunch of guys who want an Illinois team, and then the House of Pain is born. There's a bunch of guys who want the Aftershocks team. So the fans enjoy it because it's good basketball. And then, you know, after a few years of enjoying it, all of a sudden they've got their own alumni team, or all of a sudden they've become attached. So it kind of has a similar feel to to college where you become attached to these teams or you become attached to these players. And that's what draws people in. And then I also think, you know, this year's a little different because the NBA season ran long and there's Olympics this year, but for the most part, like, it's summer basketball. And anytime people can get extra summer basketball, they're going to sign up for it. And anytime you can get extra summer basketball on ESPN, a channel that 95% of people have, you know, not everyone has watch ESPN. Not everyone has ESPN News or the ESPN Classics, but these games are actually very easily accessible. So the combination of easily accessible, usually in the summer when there's not a whole lot of basketball going on, and you probably know 90% of these guys, 80% of these guys, and if you have your own school's alumni team in it, you're tuned in and you're very excited.
Is there a school or one or two schools out there that have not had alumni teams that kind of top on the TBT wish list?
Well, Louisville almost had a team this year, and that was something that a lot of people were talking about. I went to Missouri. I push hard for a Mizzou TBT team as much as I can. And I think there was a Kansas one a few years ago, and then those guys have kind of fizzled out into different places, but that's always a team that people are talking about. Really, any big alumni team that doesn't have a lot of NBA players, you know, Kentucky could obviously by now field a team. There's a ton of Kentucky guys in the tournament. And then North Carolina is something that people talk about also. And Bob Rathbun, who's kind of the voice of TBT, calls a lot of the games, calls the championship games. He is the broadcaster for the Atlanta Hawks. And he said to us when we had him on, he was like, how about this? How about a North Carolina team and Vince Carter's on the squad? So there's a lot of push for, you know, big alumni schools like North Carolina. But then there's also a lot of push for guys like Vince Carter, Dwayne Wade, Joe Johnson, guys like that to get involved. Because, you know, we saw Joe Johnson last year. He dominated and their team didn't win. So there's no guarantee that you're showing up and winning this thing just because you're an NBA vet.
Kansas had a team here in 2019. Mm-hmm. Who's the number one Mizzou alum you would want to see on the Mizzou alumni team? You got a favorite?
So all time, everyone talks about Phil Pressey, and that's a big name. But then for me, so I just graduated a few years ago, and there was a guy on the team, Cassius Robertson, my junior year. He was transferred in. He was supposed to be like Michael Porter's kind of partner, but Porter was hurt the whole year, and he was unbelievable. Doesn't miss from three, knockdown shooter, just gets to the basket, scores. So that's someone that I think, like, the older crowd would be looking for the Presses and the Alex Oriakis, but then, you know, you got to get the young Cassius Robertson to complete the team. So that's mine. I actually texted John Elmore, who's the GM of the Heard That team, which is the Marshall alumni. I said, I got a name for you. And he said he matched up with him in overseas. So he thought about it, but I that's one name that I toss around a lot.
How much closer do we get to mainstream acceptance for the Elam ending each year?
I think the problem is it's so great because it's so unique. And it's awesome in the All-Star game because it's different from what they do all year in the NBA. It would make the NBA game a lot better, but I don't know if the excitement would be as exciting as it is for, you know, the All-Star game, because it's a new thing that people aren't used to. And kind of with everything, people get sick of stuff. That's kind of what I think is going to happen with the name, image, and likeness stuff that's happening in college right now, is everyone's freaking out about it. Look at these guys are signing deals. This is this. In 2 years, it's just going to be normal. And then we're going to find something else to talk about and complain about and all that stuff. So I think the Elam ending absolutely would be perfect in any league. But I think what makes it so great in TBT and the All-Star game is that it's unique.
I'm definitely a fan. It seems to add more of the things that we like about basketball to those final few minutes, definitely. The Wichita Regional, we've got some very interesting teams in here. The Aftershocks, of course. We've got the Purple and Black Kansas State alumni. We've got the Omaha Blue Crew, Missouri Valley, the old Creighton guys. Challenge ALS has some talent on it. Team Arkansas. What interests you most about the Wichita Regional?
Yeah, so I think there's a few teams like the LA Cheaters and Florida TNT that have former NBA guys. And that's always exciting because you know, if you could score in the NBA, you're going to be able to score in TBT as long as you know, kind of stayed in shape and were playing overseas. So I think it's exciting there. You know, guys like Derek Williams, Terrence Jones, Antonio Blakeney, he's on Florida TNT. And then I think what's exciting also is Team Arkansas. You know, they really have a lot of good guys. Jalen Barford, who is really going to be their best player, is arguably the best player in all of TBT. And then they got Dusty Hammes and Courtney Fortson, who, you know, the Arkansas team raves about him. And then, of course, you got the Aftershocks. And what's not to like about the Aftershocks with a mix of young alumni, old alumni? You got Ron Baker on the sidelines as co-GM, assistant coach, all that kind of stuff, which is awesome. And then what better place than Wichita to, you know, kick off having fans back in TBT, because you know firsthand, those fans are going to be fired up and excited to watch the Aftershocks. Something that I was a little intrigued by was the fact that they were the 2 seed and not the 1 seed. Not that I think they should have been higher necessarily, but 2 teams advance out of the region. So really, 1st seed or 2nd seed isn't too different. And, you know, they'll have home court advantage all the way to Dayton. So I think the 1 seed and the 2 seed. Expats is an intriguing first round matchup. I'd probably rather play them than the NG Saints. New McGrady is just a bunch of high school teammates from Philly that have a lot of chemistry and stuff. But NG Saints has a good GM and coach, Jack Lieb. He's putting together a dangerous team. I don't think there's any game, unless, you know, a team falls apart here or there, I don't think there's any game where people would be shocked by an upset.
You had Ron Baker, the former Shocker, former NBA guy who is the GM and current Shocker coach, Isaac Brown, on your podcast a week or two ago. I'd encourage people to check that out. What did you take from the conversation with those two?
Well, took from Ron that he is definitely not playing. We asked him about 5 times, are you going to play? Are you going to play? It was actually the 2nd time we had him on. We had him on a few weeks ago. And we also kept asking him, are you going to play? Are you going to play? He's not going to play, which stinks, because, I mean, it puts the Aftershocks from, you know, top 3 or 4 favorites in the Wichita Regional to top 3 or 4 favorites in the whole tournament if he's playing. So that's unfortunate. And Coach Brown, I mean, it was just cool to talk to him. He's excited to have all the guys back around. He's excited to, you know, kind of use it as a recruiting pitch. Like, hey, look at this family. Look what we've got. And he actually told me if they make it to Dayton, he'll go to Dayton and paint his chest. So I'm gonna hold him to that.
I saw that. That was a bold move by Isaac Brown. Yeah, a little bit out of character for him.
But yeah.
Way to get in there and jump on for the Aftershocks. That was nice. 30 of the teams are college affiliated this season. Why do you think that part of TBT is growing?
Kind of what I was saying earlier, where people are asking for it. You know, they're seeing people ask for teams, and then they're also seeing, you know, how cool it was when Carmen's crew, the Ohio State team, won. You know, these guys play overseas with all these guys. You know, David Lighty probably went back overseas and talked to all of his friends of that went to NC State. Hey, you guys should have a TBT team. You know, so I think the players probably do a lot of talking and a lot of recruiting, and the fans want it so bad. I mean, if you're a fan and you don't have an alumni team and you're into TBT, just imagine how cool it would be if you did have an alumni team. So I think a lot of it is, you know, fans want it and TBT wants it, because it's cool when the schools are posting about it and when the head coaches are into it. You know, we had Coach Bob Huggins on the show the other day too. Like, these, the coaches are into it. So if the coaches are into it, the former players will be into it. It's an excuse to have a little college reunion.
Definitely. And the 4 regionals are places that are serious about their college basketball: Wichita and Wichita State. And you're bringing in Kansas State and Creighton prominently, then Charleston, West Virginia, where you've got Best Virginia, which is the West Virginia alums, and Heard That, which is Marshall. And I saw there was some trash talk going back and forth between Bob Huggins and the Thundering Herd. Columbus, Ohio, where you've got Columbus, Carmen's crew, Ohio State, and the Red Scare of Dayton. And then Peoria, Illinois, where you've got Always a Brave, the Bradley alums, that a lot of names that Wichita State fans would recognize, and then House of Pain from Illinois. Okay, the aftershocks, when I've talked to Zach Bush, the coach, and Ron Baker, they downsized some this year. They wanted bigs who are maybe a little bit more mobile and agile, that can run and switch on defense. They really consider this a guard-oriented tournament. What style of play do you think wins in TBT?
I think there's two types of styles. I think you need to be able to slow the game down and play your game and have some good chemistry. But then you also need to be able to score in a bunch once you get to the Elam ending. You know, it doesn't really matter how much you score before the Elam ending. What matters is that you get to that target score before the other team. So, you know, if you got a team like the Aftershocks who slow it down, move the ball around, hit some threes, or scoring nonstop, they're not playing great D, hypothetically, you get into the Elam ending, you get Connor Frankamp, two open threes, all of a sudden you need one more bucket and you guys win. So I think there's two styles, like I was saying. There's keep it close during the Elam ending or be winning, and that's just playing to your own style. But then you got to be able to score and score quickly in the Elam ending, especially if you're down going into the Elam ending. The teams that can hit threes have the advantage in the Elam ending, because as we all know, three is more than two.
We do know that. You mentioned some of the top talent that's going to be here in Wichita. Let's run through a few of these names. You started with Jalen Barford, Team Arkansas. He led TBT in 2019, averaged 24 points a game. You mentioned Derek Williams. He was the number two pick of the Timberwolves in 2011 out of Arizona. He played seven NBA seasons. Casper Ware also plays for the LA Cheaters along with Derek Williams. He was a big scorer, I believe, at Long Beach State. Jerome Randall for Challenge ALS, averaged 21.7 points in 2018 and TBT. Give us some names. What should people look out for when they're coming to some of the other games besides the Aftershocks?
Yeah, so as I was mentioning, you know, the Arkansas team is really exciting. But, you kind of nailed it right there, by the way. But Challenge ALS has Justin Dentman, who led the TBT in scoring last year, like we were just mentioning. He can score, and we had him on, and he said, you know, I'm excited to, you know, have that kind of name to me right now as the reigning leading scorer. He's like, but I want to win, and he's going to have an opportunity to do that with, you know, Jerome Randall and then some of the other guys. They have a very interesting backcourt. They got Devontae Frigo, who's not on our watch list, but he is a, you know, street baller, YouTube star. So anytime you got something like that, that's going to be exciting. And of course, TBT sets it up with, he's a former D3 guy. And then in round one, Challenge ALS is playing the D3 team that apparently shut him down and said, no, thank you. I think there's a lot of exciting, good teams. I mentioned Antonio Blakeney earlier. He was a guy that, you know, didn't play a whole lot of defense for the Chicago Bulls, but when he was in, shot it and made it. So that's another exciting guy. What I'm really interested to see is there's five alumni teams that kind of have some question marks. And that's, you know, Purple and Black, which is Kansas State, the Enchantment, which is New Mexico, Stillwater Stars, which is Oklahoma State, Omaha Blue Crew, which is Creighton, and then Fort Worth Funk, which is TCU. You know, rumblings inside the TBT community say that out of those teams, the Enchantment is the team to watch, the New Mexico alumni team. So I would say look out for them. And then, of course, you got to talk about Everline Drive. They put together an incredible roster. A couple of Western Kentucky former stars, A.J. Slaughter, and then Jeremy Evans. They also got J.P. Tokoto from North Carolina. I mean, you looking at this team, you know probably 85% of these guys. You know, they've either played in the NBA or been pretty damn close. Marquise Teague also on the Bulls. If you can't tell, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. Favor the Bulls a little bit, but I mean, Everline Drive is the one seed for a reason. And I mean, any of the top six teams going to the Final Four from Wichita would not surprise me.
And we've also got Oklahoma State alumni team here. Yep. You mentioned Everline Drive. So there's definitely some attractive teams coming. You mentioned Justin Dentman. I'll give you a little background on him. He's kind of got a Missouri Valley Conference connection. He went to the University of Washington, but he is from Carbondale, averaged 22.5 points in 2020 for for the men of Mackey in TBT. I'll let you go with is there a sleeper team or maybe a surprise team that people should watch out for in the Wichita Regional?
Mental Toughness is an exciting, fun team. The GMs and coaches of that team are awesome. John Testor is an assistant coach who's a great guy, and Sean McGee is a GM and assistant coach. They're just good dudes. We had them on the show a few times. They got Jaheve Floyd and Marcus Towns, who are both good players. I mean, I don't know if they're going to upset the LA Cheaters in the first round, but they're going to be – they're a fun team. And I hope that we get a Sean McGee post-game interview after a win. That's the GM, because that will be a very fun interview. So I don't know if they're my upset pick, but they're definitely like my – if I had to pick a team to upset, it'd be them, because they're playing for a good cause, a good organization, and – I'm excited to see what they can do.
All right. We've got the Aftershocks July 16th against the Expats, 8 p.m. at Coke Arena. Andrew, thank you very much for your time. Tell people where they can find you on Twitter and how they can listen to the podcast and learn more about TBT.
Absolutely. So if you want to just find me, and I'm pretty boring, not too great, but if you want to find me, I'm just at Andrew Zoldan. Zoldan is Zoldan. Then you got to follow at Inside TBT, because that's where we're posting everything with the podcast, which is also on Apple and Spotify. Just search TBT podcast. But that's where we post clips. That's where you'll see our Coach Isaac Brown content. So you definitely want to follow at Inside TBT.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.